My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
You know, I'm happy to say, as a coworker and as his uncle, Joe did a thing there that I always get tripped up by, and it's like the show really needs to get better from here, but the draft isn't tonight. The first round of the draft is tonight. Now, if your draft doesn't go multiple days, you're not a serious organization.
That's
like
right.
You have to, yeah. NBA even, like yeah. Last night was round two, previous night was round one.
I think the most recent version of the OHL draft that I caught wind of this past spring did round one on like a weekday night and then the rest of it the next day. So OHL, even a draft where you're drafting 15-year-old hockey players, they've stretched it out.
You know, that as I think about it, I don't think I'm in a fantasy league that does go for more than one day. But we have to start incorporating that.
What about these ones? I mean, these slow. I mean, a slow draft.
Well, a slow draft.
That's a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Would that not be cool for like the NFL or like a major league sport if they had an 8-hour clock? That's not going to be easy on TV. But in fantasy, the clock does. Most sites, the clock does stop overnight. So you're not having to sit there at 3 a.m. waiting for the Jaguars to pick. Yeah.
It's funny. You, if you want content, I mean, that would stretch out content, but just, yeah, the problem is the in-betweens there.
That would be funny.
That could be tough.
Some of these, I'm in one with my friend JD up in Toronto, and this one is going particularly slowly, and, you know, is what it is. It's 8 hours. You just sort of wait. But if everybody knows each other, this is not one of those.
Right.
If everybody knows each other, you know, like, where's Greg? He's got an hour and a half left. Does he know? Can somebody find him? Like, where's Tennessee?
Moving along here. Yeah.
Where's Tennessee? Like, do they know they're up? If this were actually how the NFL draft works,
right.
Does Tennessee know it's actually up? Because it's only 58 minutes. Would a team? I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away. But imagine like this could actually be possible. You know, in these times where a sports network is willing to cover that continually. Like the whole 8-hour clocks, the first round goes a week, 2 weeks, whatever that would be. Like that could happen. But in the way, like if you have 10 minutes to pick, like now in the first round of the NFL draft, and teams, even though Cam Ward, even though Tennessee knew what it was going to do, did they not use the whole 10 minutes? Like you sort of just, they tell you, you know, just relax.
It's time with your logo on the screen.
Your logo. They're talking about you.
Nonsense. Yeah.
Would they talk about you for the whole 8 hours?
And, yeah, right.
It's 5 hours and 11 minutes to go here.
Seems far-fetched.
We don't know where they are.
Yeah.
But they probably should know that they're up.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
I am excited to find out. I'll be off my bicycle by the time the draft actually begins. Our coverage tomorrow, tonight begins at 7. Tomorrow our coverage starts at 11 a.m. and the first pick of round two will be around noon. I think that's the official start time of round two, and they'll go until round 7 is over. And 2/3 of our draft coverage team is in the control room right now. Your nephew Joe, Zach Jones, our regular producer, and my son Owen, who has, I don't know that he alternated pages like you do in the notebook, but he's got a notebook, and it is full of stuff on guys. Because I told him today, like, how long's the coverage go? He's like, until the draft's over. I'm like, Dude, do you know what you just signed up for? Like, have any idea? I'm not even sure. I have never.
4 hours.
I don't think I've ever stayed with day two of the NHL draft long enough to know when the checkered flag waves. I honestly don't know how, but it's got to go, you know, a few hours at least, I'm sure, into like mid-afternoon.
Six hours?
Earliest. I don't know, but man, he's ready to go. He's got notes on, I don't know, a couple hundred prospects, I think. He's good to go. Tomorrow.
I love notes, and I fully respect that. What's a little bit unfortunate, I guess, to use one word, about the NHL draft is the odds that anybody pick tomorrow is ever any good in the league. It's just not how hockey is. Football is so much better for the draft, for fan purposes. Because what are we talking about all the time? With the Bills, Bills are a good example this year. Because most of 99%, if not 99.9% of Bills fans had no idea who Dion Walker is, like, just sort of, most people don't know. What do they listen for when that pick is made?
The school.
Defense and school. Defense, right? Position and school. And hockey has forward, defense, goalie. Like, there's three buckets.
And 9 million leagues.
Well, right. Like, you're not going to know Shawinigan from Moose Jaw.
There's French-Canadian juniors. There's Ontario juniors. There's Western-Canadian juniors. There's USHL. There's NAHL. They don't have many guys picked in your average draft. And then you've got European guys and, oh, my gosh, in college guys, it's just a lot of guys.
Yeah, like, you almost have no chance of being able to sort of comprehend the differences. Like, Owen, in this case, will tell us tomorrow who everybody is, and then the Sabres will take their turn to tell us who everybody is. But almost nope. And that's football. That's like 1 in 500 people know the names of the non-day one players, or certainly day three players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that, you know, condescendingly, because that's usually me too. I will sometimes know the running backs and receivers because of fantasy, but I didn't know who TJ Sanders was. And the Bills picked him in the second round. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Right? That was a new name for me, I think. If I ever heard his name, it was briefly.
It was very weird that his name, he was in the pool of guys, like ranked around the pool of guys that we talked about, but for some reason he just always fell through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think his name came up when we talked to Trapasso and, like, you know, did our draft coverage. So it's just kind of funny, you know, looking back at it. I don't know why that was. It just happened that way.
And that is, I think, pretty much what usually happens. Is there, you know, that to make that point in football, the Broncos on day two picked a receiver named Pat Bryant. And I spent every day on receivers and running backs and, like, trying to draft teams, you know, who's going to go on day two, day one, day three. What are the possibilities here? I never remember hearing the name Pat Bryant before. Next thing you know, he's picked by Denver and their head coach, who's, you know, won a lot of games, is comparing him to Michael Thomas. Oh, well, I guess I should know this name now. I mean, anyway, it's just to say, like, unfortunately for the hockey draft, for the NHL draft and interest in it, you make the point about different countries and leagues, but simply, like, there is just, it's just not compartmentalized like football is, where it's so easy that almost all Bills fans, even by Friday, if not Saturday, didn't care anymore who the players were. It's just positions. Are they going to draft offense? And when they don't, maybe this happened for a fourth pick in a row, leading off on Saturday, like, okay, that's a story. Doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
It just matters, like, all right, don't we need a receiver? Don't we need a running back? Whatever it was. And that's what football, one thing, what did, was it Greg Wyshynski or someone else say earlier this week on our show? It's also that people watch college football. And a lot of people would have known who T.J. Sanders was and certainly knew who Max Hairston was, you know. And, like, there's a familiarity with those guys because, you know, we're crazy for college football on Saturdays.
And even if you
the SEC.
And even if you don't know the player specifically, you at least know his school. Like, you think, oh, I must have seen him play because I watched South Carolina play Tennessee this year or whatever. You know, it's just a different thing.
Yeah. Well, none of this is really, like, anything new. It's just, I'm just going to say good for Owen. Right. Because he's going to know whatever it is there is to know about, you know, these kids.
And I told him, just be ready for, like, I don't know, 80% conservatively of that stuff that you've been meticulously notating for weeks to end up completely useless. It's on the cutting room floor. It's just not gonna make it.
Right.
There's commercials, and then you'll be talking to Paul, and the guys will be talking that get picked, and like, you just, you know, 20 picks are going to go by. You're going to not have anything to say about them.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, no.
There's a good lesson in that.
You'll welcome the break, sure.
There's a good lesson in that. Who's ever gotten in trouble being overprepared?
That's right. That's right.
So, all right, well, that'll be tonight and tomorrow. Is there what's the range here? It's not like 100 to 0, but what could happen tonight that we will like or dislike? I mean, there could be a trade. There could be... They just make the pick at 9.
I think the trade or no trade is the NHL draft's version, at least for Sabres fans, of receiver or no receiver, to some extent. I don't know if that's exact. I just thought of that. I hadn't been sitting on that for a day or anything, but I think a trade of some kind before the 9th pick gets made, involving Bo Byram, ideally, and replacing, in some hopefully credible capacity, what you gave up in J.J. Paterka, that happens before the picks start being made. I happen to like the idea, maybe, of the 9th pick being a sweetener in a Byram trade to get you a better caliber of winger, if that's, you know, actually what they end up targeting. It's what I think they should be targeting. And I think if that doesn't happen, then it's another day closer to... Are they going to do that or not? You know, and that lasts maybe more than a week. But then, you know, the milk starts to smell funny after a while. But by the time you get past July 2nd or 3rd, like past the 4th of July even, right? That's on a Friday this year, so we'll be off, and then we'll be back on Monday. And if something hasn't happened by then, it's big trouble. But tonight is the first signpost on the way to that. This first signpost on the way to oblivion, it's going to feel like, if they don't do something to replace Paterka. You know, we talked a lot about that yesterday, and I still, you know, I like the guys that they got in that trade, but there has to be something significant happening beyond it. And if that doesn't come, then you've got a lot of problems, I think, that look a lot like previous seasons when we thought, they're gonna add this or that, and nope.
I don't know. I just think this is going to be a little bit like a couple days ago when I mentioned what I think is like Samuelson's general irrelevance to the overall, and you know, you pushed at me on that. I think the range of reactions here is from like really good somehow to whatever. I mean, I don't know what, if they don't do anything by July 7th, how different will that feel than it has for the last 2 years? It'll just feel like, you know, the Sabres, you know, if I were they, I would probably want to ignore this. I'm not here for public perception. I work here. I'm going to do what I think is best for the team. This is Adams and like the whole lot of them. But really, like, I think there's very little they could do. Even including, like, well, the Paterka trade, what would you say public opinion was on that? Like 80-20 against?
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are not...
Maybe worse.
Maybe worse. Like, they're not so clued in on what the contract dynamics might be, what the player is saying, what the agent is saying. You and I both on Wednesday after, was it Wednesday? After Kevin Adams, or Tuesday, after Kevin Adams spoke, immediately we're like, he's gone.
Yeah.
And there should have been no more conversation about that. It was like over because of how he answered the question about Paterka. He answered the question about Paterka by talking about Samuelson. Like, of course he was being traded. So, like, people looked at that. Again, I'm talking more casuals, but that's most people looked at that as, well, he was good and he was traded for people I've never heard of from apparently, quote, Utah as a team now. And like, you know, we said yesterday, like, you could defend it, you know, to a point anyway. I don't know. Like, what can they do in the next 2 weeks that will really move the meter? Sign Patrick Kane? Just like what? Mm-hmm. What would actually do it? I've decided to fight against any ideas like that. To me, like, just go ahead. I think the Sabres are a team that probably in a vacuum is better off drafting tonight, drafting kids, trying to continue to build it from within. But it mostly seems like the situation, that everybody's just so fed up that maybe they almost can't do that.
No, it's going to be very, I think the hardest thing right now for the majority of fans, and certainly the casuals like you're referring to, but I think even, well, the passionates usually are split because they've all got a favorite, right? There's a reason why Marco Rossi being mentioned specifically as an opportunity in a trade for Peterka rankled people so much, and people are so mad because there was a cottage industry in that year's draft when the Sabres took Quinn instead of Rossi that was just up in arms about that it was just an awful decision and how could you do it. And now here's an opportunity to, I guess, right that wrong in the eyes of those people. And so, like, they're right back to pitchforks and fires, mad like they were on the night of that draft. Like, how come you didn't do this again? You had a chance to do this again. Why didn't you do this thing again? So you've always got people who've got their favorites, their, you know, James Hagans or the kid from the Sioux that I talked about, Brady Martin, that if they pick that guy, you're like, okay, this is the guy I wanted, right? It's like me with Xavier Worthy. What do I know about the draft? I settled on an idea, and I liked it, and I thought it fit, and the Bills punted it to their biggest rival. So, of course, I was upset about that. So that'll happen. It's not as large a number of people, and again, because fewer people know about these guys. But the majority of even passionate Sabres fans, I would count me in this group. I'd be like, who'd you pick? Great.
Yeah, what was last year?
You know, like, right? Who'd you pick? Great. Great. Sound, that reads great. I'll wait. I'm going to be 3 years older by the time he gets here. Fantastic.
That was last year exactly.
Right.
I think.
Yeah,
it's a 13-year drought. They drafted Hellenius.
Right.
Well, that seems all right.
Reads good. Yeah, reads nice on paper. Sounds good. Okay, great. Yeah.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. 200-foot player. Okay.
Fine.
Yeah, great. But
it doesn't really.
Right.
It doesn't affect whether you're going to buy tickets.
You know, no, that's, right.
That's, you know, maybe. I don't think it really. It's not optimal if it is a part of their equation, but in real life, it might be. I don't know how bad it is. I mean, we're. We have our own takes. We hear from a lot of people. It just seems very, very desperate right now with them. And they have to care. It's maybe above. It's above Adams or above Kekalainen. But somebody has to care about the bottom line, right? And I don't know. Kane is somebody. Doesn't that eventually happen where he's on the team? And maybe it's not the worst idea. I've never wanted it. I just have never really cared about him, but he's local. He'll probably go to the Hall of Fame, and maybe they could use some sort of Q rating help in that way. Instead, it was Eric. The last version of this might have been Eric Staal, who was on like one of the most hated teams in Sabres history, 06 Carolina. Like, okay, well, that doesn't mean he can't help, and he didn't help, and he was traded immediately, and now he's in the front office but won't be around. Like, I just, way to really nail it. Way to really nail it.
Sometimes sentences are just full of so much absurdity.
What, is Aaron Ward not available to run the draft for the Sabres?
Can't come forearm can't shiver they get people in the chin.
Can't they get Commodore?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, I want to mention this. I mean, I don't have to force it in now, but we got a few minutes before this segment is up. You know, I defended them going, you know, getting low on the return. At least that's the general consensus on the trade yesterday. Sort of in favor of, well, they filled needs. These guys will fit in places of need, and I, especially the defenseman Kesselring. I got it. I think I'm in the clear. And so, you know, fine. I'm not that worried about how it stacks up on the trade chart. If Darren Dreger's going to give it a bad grade, I'm not that worried about that. Just keep doing your thing, right? But I wake up today and one of the first things I see about hockey is from Elliot Friedman, the Sabres aren't quite seeing what they were hoping for as far as offers on Bo Byram. like, oh, good morning, right? Thanks for coming. And I do think it's fair to connect them not getting great return on Paterka and offers not meeting, you know, their hope or their demand on Byram, because any team that's dealing with them, that's looking at Bo Byram, I think would be inclined to go, I'm not paying sticker. You're the Buffalo Sabres. You just gave, you're trading in dimes for nickels over here, and I'm not going to give you dimes for dimes because I don't have to. And so I don't, it doesn't have to be right, but it's a reason why you should hold steady maybe on getting fair return, because if you are perceived as being taken advantage of by the league at large, well, guess what? People are going to get in line to try to take advantage of you. And it can be harder to do the things you feel like you need to do with Bo Byram or really anyone else. So that doesn't feel great sitting here today. I mean, we'll see. I still can't fathom. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess I can fathom a scenario where he's on their team still. I mean, they have his rights and he does have value, but I certainly hope that they do make a trade with him.
I wouldn't be terrified of his going to camp, but I would be terrified of a new contract. And I don't even know if that's something that's in the window.
Like a big contract. He'll need a contract.
Well, right. But some sort of commitment.
Yeah, right.
I feel like with Paterka, it's one opinion. It's mostly, I want to say data-driven, but it's one opinion. That Paterka is somebody you could invest in, not a 200-foot player, but has value. If I'm another team, I want no part of Byram. He's Ristolainen. He's exactly what I want to know to avoid. Good face, good name, young skater, can't play. Just it's going to get me killed. So it doesn't surprise me if the Sabres can't get real interest in him. Because, I mean, they shouldn't, to me, they shouldn't. I didn't mind him as an idea for Mittelstadt because he was kind of the same thing to me as a forward. Mm-hmm. And, let's just find out. But they did find out. And if he wasn't on with Dahlin, he was a disaster. And when he was on with Dahlin, well, why do you need this guy? So just, it's an absolute no. Would it be like that big of a story if nobody else wanted to pay up for him? No, it shouldn't be.
I think it would for this reason. Brandon Montour comes to mind. Like, his numbers were never good here. He leaves here and he becomes like a top pair guy on a Stanley Cup champion. There's a pretty good parallel between the style of player both guys are. Great, like you already said it, great skater, puck move. I mean, a classic offensive defenseman who's, maybe almost definitely problematic in his own end. But in a different system with different support, like forwards even helping, it's not so much the D-pair guy. I could see a GM just going, yeah, we can make that work with our team. We've got a group that can support that, and we're gonna make it sing.
Well, Montour was a deadline trade by the Sabres, but they got a third. Right? What do they want for Byram? More than a third? I like the comparison too. If I were another team, I'd probably never do it unless it's that kind of price. Third round pick? Who cares? Sorry, Owen, but who cares? Sure. Take them. 803-0550. NHL draft begins tonight. Round one from LA. The Peacock Theater, so Bulldog can't watch it.
I don't think that's right.
It is the Peacock Theater, but it's on ESPN.
Yeah.
So you can watch it. Sorry. Just, forced humor. Quote humor. Sam Paniatovich next. Bet Sweats. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Even when it's late June, perhaps the dead zone of the year on the sports calendar, there's still a lot. One thing, sadly, there isn't, as was announced today, the NFL supplemental draft is...
No one partook.
Is no more, at least for this year. No one has made a pick, I read, in the supplemental draft since 2019. But, Bulldog, the days of the NFL supplemental draft. Steve Walsh,
mm-hmm.
right? Kozar with the Bills involved in the draft picks and stuff? Wasn't he?
Ooh, I don't remember supplemental that. Steve draft? Walsh, I remember. I don't remember Kozar being supplemental draft. It's not to say that I don't trust you. I just don't remember that.
Do you really need a supplemental draft? The NFL is saying apparently no. Yeah. We don't really need that. Nobody really uses it. So that's out. So, sadly, I would say, no need to ask Sam Panayotovic for his thoughts on what will happen in the 2025 NFL supplemental draft, because there will not be one. Sam Panayotovic on the Western Hotline, the host of Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Check everything out, lines and whatnot, on the BetMGM app, and be sure to catch Sam's show with Joe Ostrowski weekday mornings 9 to noon Eastern on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app. Sam, how are you?
Vacation is underway, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for playing Led Zeppelin into my head. I love that.
Well, I mean, I had no say in the matter, but I'm glad you're happy.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
Yes.
Where is vacation?
Right.
Are you just, you know, I don't want to say the thing that how people describe staying home on vacation, because it will make me want to slam my head in a doorway.
Staycation? You don't like that?
I don't want to work here anymore. What are you doing on your time off, Sam?
Back to Chicago, back home. So I'll be there Monday to Saturday. There's a bunch of parties Thursday, Friday, and then back to work on Monday. Although I was told I should probably call off that Monday now so I don't have to work it. Then I can work Tuesday. But, yeah, back to Chicago, back home for the holiday.
All right, good deal.
Seems like they'll probably know what's going on if you do that at this point. NHL draft. No. I did see
hang up. He's on vacation.
I know. I did see from Greg Wyshynski, like, the top four picks are minus money. The first pick is minus 10,000 or something. So there's not a lot of drama there. Is there anything to do with it?
No, not right now. Everything has been molded into shape. We bet this kid Martone to go third overall, and I have no idea if that's going to hit. But he was 15-1 about a month ago. And at this point, he's like 5-1, 6-1. I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's funny, in Vegas, they're not even booking bets on this. So there were several sports books in Vegas that for years used to take bets on NFL draft, NBA draft, NHL draft, and they all stopped because they kept losing every year because they had no idea what they were doing, and the info got to the bettors before the books.
Right.
So, I mean, look, you laugh, but it's true. Ask any Vegas bookmaker, the NFL draft was a loss leader for the last 5 or 6 years, and then they finally just stopped taking it because they were on defense the whole time. But I have Martone, I think that's his name, to go third overall. If that happens, cool. If not, whatever. I was going to ask you guys, should I bet Buffalo to win the cup at 150-1?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, that's just free money.
Yeah.
150-1? Bulldog, what's the most you would bet on that? $20? 20 for 3,000? Could you go that far to win the Stanley Cup? You wouldn't put $20 on that?
No.
All right, I would.
No, I like my long shots, and so therefore I'm conditioned to like losing. But
that's how we're different.
That just seems like a complete waste to me.
I would spend $20 on that to win 3,000, and they'll just hedge in the conference finals.
Mm.
That's what I will do.
Yeah, okay. Well, it hasn't been good, I know, for a while, and I actually listened to you guys the other day. I thought Mike's visor was going to leap off his head. He was, you know, I thought he was very animated in that video. But you look at the prices for these teams, like the Penguins are 200-1, Seattle 300-1, and then the Blackhawks and Sharks are 500-1. That says a lot. As wide open as hockey is in the playoffs, those teams have no chance.
Pittsburgh seems like maybe a more reasonable idea, just because of Crosby and Malkin,
right,
to win a Stanley Cup. They've won four, right? Or three?
Three, yeah.
Sam, you and I were both thinking about NFL Coach of the Year. I, for some random reason, had a thought about Sean McDermott this morning and this award and, like, what he might need to have a chance at it, which is, I think, maybe 100% a Josh Allen injury. I mean, perish the thought. Can McDermott build – is there a season, in your opinion – and he's going to be a long shot. He always is, and he never has come close to the award. I mean, even with all the five straight division titles, still. Is there a season, you know, apart from an Allen injury – Is it 17-0? What's a year where McDermott might have a look at it?
Yeah, I think you painted two pretty good pictures. It's either the Bills going undefeated or Josh Allen going down and him coaching up whatever there is left in the back, like the backup room. I don't know, you know, because Andy Reid every year is 100-1, and Andy Reid, I would argue, is one of the best coaches in the league. Yeah. But he doesn't win. He's won it one time, so I don't know that there's any value in betting like McDermott, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid. It's just you have so much security there in terms of like winning games, and I don't know. Like usually, it's a coach that takes a team to 10 wins that wasn't good the year before. I mean, you look at O'Connell, Stefanski. Dable went 9-7-1 a couple of years ago. It's usually a coach that overexceeds expectations by a handful of wins. So I was texting you, Mike. I said, I think Shane Steichen makes a lot of sense. Last year they were about 500, and now they have a really bad quarterback room. Richardson, Daniel Jones, and Riley Leonard. If he can massage 10, 11 wins out of that, I think he's a good bet at 30-1. My advice would be to not bet the Bears coach. Because last year, Matt Eberflus was favored to be coach of the year, and he got fired midseason. Not that Ben Johnson and Matt Eberflus are equals, but it's difficult to bet those guys on top. You know, everybody's talking about them. It's Vrabel. It's Ben Johnson. It's Pete Carroll. Liam Cohen's another one. But everybody knows that, guys. So I would be looking like at least 20-1 or higher because there's no value on any of these guys, 6, 7, 8-1.
What kind of number is on McDermott right now? I don't know. I've not looked at this. Do you happen to know?
Oh, he's like, 50 or 60-1.
Yeah.
I would say on Johnson, there's a, you know, maybe the sucker side of me is like ready to do that. But I think in the year where he might be the, like sort of a talked about candidate, the better bet is Caleb Williams MVP. Because how does Ben Johnson win? Maybe he wins anyway, but 6-1. But what's Caleb Williams going to be, 75-1 or something like that? Like if Ben Johnson ends up by Christmas having a look at that award, what's Caleb Williams' season look like?
Well, it's funny you say that because Caleb is already down to like 30-1 to win the MVP.
Oh, never mind.
So,
never mind.
Right.
Whoops.
No,
still good.
Look, relative to Ben Johnson being 6-1 to be coach of the year, I guess there's value. But Caleb Williams should be 100-1. To win the MVP because he has to outduel Burrow, Lamar, Allen, Mahomes. You know, it's always one of those guys near the top, and it's usually a top-tier quarterback. But I laugh every year, man. I remember one time I was living in Chicago, and I logged in one of my apps, and Mitchell Trubisky was 25-1 to win the MVP, and I thought I would never bet that. And then a couple of years later, Justin Fields was 30-1. Bears fans are monetarily insane. Let's put it that way.
Right. I like Lawrence a little bit for a dart throw. Weak division if Houston isn't good. And if Cohen works out, he's got weapons. You know, he's been in the league. If you like his talent, I think he could be interesting there. And Bulldog would never, and I think I would never, but Kyler Murray.
I would never go near that, yeah.
I mean, weapons and if you just get a big year. Look, maybe not true of Lamar Jackson because he had an insane year statistically and still lost. But if Allen and Mahomes put down last year's numbers again, they won't win. Like, they, forget it. I mean, Allen first time, Jackson had already won two. Good. You know, division title.
You're not giving Mahomes a fourth MVP off of a year like last year.
Third, but still. Like,
yeah.
No.
Third, sorry. Okay.
And Jackson, I think, there's still that working against him. So if they all have the two high safeties all day, Sam, if they all have the same year, maybe somebody like Matt Ryan did in his year. Just, you know, weak division, they dominate it. The numbers 40-5 touchdowns to picks. Burrow last year without the terrible defense and the losing, you know, non-playoff season. That I think is the formula.
So there's a lot of money on Baker Mayfield for those reasons. Weak division, easy schedule. Ideally, you get Evans and Godwin back. And I understand that. It's fine. But the problem is I'm not betting Baker Mayfield at 40-1. He should be, you know, closer to maybe 80-1. It's a market that gets sort of morphed into shape because you don't want to give anybody away. You don't want to give guys 60, 70, 80-1 away because the liability builds so crazily. And That's not a market I think you can go, you know, deep diving on a lot of times, because you have these quarterbacks that are just so bad. Like J.J. McCarthy, for example, he's 100-1. He should be 200-1. He's never played a snap in the NFL. But, you know, people are going to bet him because the Vikings were good last year and O'Connell's a whisper and all that.
Right.
But a guy who's never taken an NFL snap should not be 100-1 to win the MVP. He should be so much higher.
How much variance, if you know, Sam, is there? We talk a lot here. You bring up the point, like shop around, right? Don't bet something at 45-1 when you can find it at 65 or 70-1. How much variance in these sorts of award odds is there?
Well, it depends on the book, but yeah, there is. I mean, we were talking this morning on the show about Coach of the Year, and you know, there were some guys that were like Sean McVay, for example. I'm kind of crisscrossing awards here, but it's the same principle, right?
Yeah,
Bulldog,
yeah,
you're looking for the best number. So McVay to win Coach of the Year, there's a 15, a 20, a 25, a 30, and a 35. Why would you ever bet the 15 when you could bet the 35 and get an extra $20 on your bet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, different books have different liabilities, but that's a perfect example right there. Like Sean McVay, of course he could win Coach of the Year. But there's a huge range, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Like, you got to get the best number at all times.
This is funny because I listened to the Establish the Run guys, Evan Silva, and Levitan, the host of that show, is often like tweaking him. Like, it's how he'll give the speech on every episode about how important it is to price shop. But Evan, who's a little older, be like, I would never. I'm just too old for that. I'm not. And that's so. I think that's Bulldog. Respectfully, like you've got. Plus, they're a sponsor, client of yours.
I have a relationship.
You're not, he is not opening new apps. He's not learning new streets.
Right. No.
I'm pretty sure he is not learning new streets.
No, I'm affiliated.
Yeah, he's just going to do what FanDuel says.
They're not sponsoring my ride for Roswell tomorrow, but still, we're in bed together.
We have 2 minutes or less with Sam Paniadovich. Cooper Flagg, -250, NBA Rookie of the Year. Does that smell good or no?
He probably wins, but I also have no interest in laying 225, 250. I think there are two guys that come to mind. Dylan Harper's, you could find 15-1. Son of Ron Harper, of course, longtime Cav, longtime Bull, won a bunch of rings in the NBA. I think he's built, you know, that smooth lefty from Rutgers is built for the professional game. And some people don't believe in it because you have some bodies in front of him. You got Castle, you got, you know, De'Aaron Fox. So there are some bodies there at the guard position, but he might just blow right by both of them. So that would be a guy I would look at, 15-1, Dylan Harper. And then, look, I like this kid Knipple, which kind of kills me to say out loud because I had Duke, as you guys know, to win the title. And I was dying at Jay Billis during the draft. Oh, all these Duke kids have ice water in their veins. Yeah, that's why they blew a 14-point lead in the Final Four, right, with three top 10 picks. But Knipple, he's built for the game. He's a spot-up guy, moves without the ball, decent defender. He's 30-1. So if I had $100 right now, I'd go 50 on Dylan Harper and 50 on Con Knipple, Rookie of the Year.
Love it. Have a great vacation. Happy 4th. If we don't talk to you next week, if we can work it out, great.
All right, boys. See ya.
Sam Paniadovich, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings, headed to Chicago.
It's going to be hot there, I'll bet.
It's hot. Top everywhere river. But Miami.
What the hell?
What the hell? Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Who decided this? For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. I need a new copy for Sam. Do you know anyone? Need new copy for Sam. Brayton Wilson will join us at 4. Don't need new copy for Brayton. He'll come up, he'll join in and talk to us about the draft tonight. Who are the names to know? 1, 2, 3 overall. I think maybe Sam's in bad with his bet at the 3rd overall. The guy I have is -350, is named Anton Frondell. Not whoever Sam said. And we'll see what Brayton thinks the Sabres could or should do tonight. That'll be coming up in just over 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back. Happy Friday. Nice enough day so far. Bisons are home tonight, 6:35 to Lehigh Valley. Enough with Lehigh Valley. Yesterday was our station fun team sponsored event at the ballpark. Never once have I been able to go to that. I love the idea of a ball game with coworkers, but the Bisons usually don't play like at 9 in the morning or even 9 at night for that matter, making it tough for me. Don't worry, I'll be okay. Last night, they gave up the first 11 runs. So there we all were up there, not me personally, but there was our group. And they got down 11 to nothing, ended up losing 12-8. Valiant
comeback
rally there, but not enough. So the Bisons have started the second half of the season 0-3 against one of the best teams in the league, if not the best, Lehigh Valley, who had a great first half. So 6:35 tonight for that one. And the Mets are in Pittsburgh.
All right.
First game in the major league schedule today is that one at 6:40. Did you see any of the Mets last night against Atlanta?
I did not, no.
Griffin Canning.
I don't get the Mets channel anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, neither do I then. I was out.
All right.
Drafting.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
This was the game on in the bar until they turned on Law and Order.
Yeah.
Halfway through it. What do these places, what are they thinking? No volume. The game was like half the fifth inning, what? And they turned it off for Law and Order. I don't know. I guess nobody was there to watch the Mets, as far as they knew.
Were people there to watch Law and Order? Because that's
you can't even
odd.
Really watch Law and Order.
Right. Oh, boy.
Anyway, it was a nice time, and Griffin Canning, the Mets starter, went down with a ruptured Achilles in the first few innings of the game.
I saw that reported. Is that confirmed that that's
confirmed?
Okay. I saw the reports this morning where they feared that, but
I've confirmed it.
Tough.
I'm confirming it.
Okay.
I watched it.
Oh, okay, I see.
There's only that is the injury that looks the same every time.
Yeah.
Like there's no contact, right? Like there's not a hit, there's not a collision or anything. And just like Aaron Rodgers with the Jets, he sort of got up and couldn't put weight on it, and they had a couple of trainers and coaches maybe help him off where he was barely stepping on his good leg off the field. Like it's if it's a knee injury, they either put you on a cart or they carry you. Like they're not making you walk, but the Achilles, like you're not going to do anything worse.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows.
Yeah.
I've never had this injury, thankfully, but I think everybody knows with that injury that it's that.
The baseball pants, though, do allow for more uncertainty. I appreciate like the Halliburton, Aaron Rodgers, even the sock. Like you know, eventually you get around to replays where you can see that happen. You're like, you probably don't notice that with the baseball pants. Those are not skin tight.
Yeah, I guess not.
But still, the way they handle themselves, I think, after is the same.
If I remember right from last night, this guy wears like the high socks.
Oh.
But I don't remember like seeing, if you will, a bulge. Brayton Wilson coming up. We'll talk about the NHL draft, which starts tonight, round one. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.